Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 28th on the West Coast, now January the 29th on the East Coast and the Central Time Zone. Getting a little bit of echo here. I think you guys may have heard that. Now it's gone. Great. listening to me myself once is enough. And I'm sure the audience agrees. What's up tonight? Well, before we bring tonight's surprise guest on, there's a lot of positive information coming back my way regarding last night's show. I had Ken Adachi on, and we covered a number of topics. We're sorting things out and certainly not getting our hopes too high about the nation's economy, or the world's economy for that matter. They wouldn't spend 100 years destroying the nation and try to turn it down in a speech that lasts an hour and a half. If you had a chance to listen to the long-legged Mac Daddy's State of the Onion address, and we're calling it that because we're going to peel it back layer at a time, just like we do an onion, You will notice that many things were said that seemed to fly in the face of what we've been witnessing. Of course, the speech was meant for popular consumption, those that routinely listen to the mainstream media. And if you use a modicum of discernment, you notice that you're not really hearing the truth. You're hearing sort of a pep rally designed to disguise what's really going on. Haiti is a big topic of discussion internationally, and a lot of people are sending out desperate funds, both for themselves as well as for the Haitians. People are willing to make sacrifices personally and collectively, and we're getting lots of reports from behind the scenes that the help is not getting to the people like what we see on film from the media. I've personally talked to some people that have been in the area, and they describe a completely different scenario from what we're learning. Now, we sent troops over there, and under the pretext of restoring order, how troops can undo an earthquake is beyond me. An earthquake that wasn't a natural event. We know this from a multiplicity of sources, and yet the media keeps talking about this as a natural disaster. We'll probably talk about that to some extent tonight, as well as other things that are coming out. Tonight's guest has been on Evident Footprints a couple of times recently, and is on many, many shows, has appeared with the individual that Drew Raines refers to as the Texas Loudmouth, and I have another pet name for him, but he's also appeared on some major talk shows around the country, some you're familiar with, and I'll allow him to mention those, as well as with our good friend Dr. H. Huat, who's a regular Monday night guest on Evident Footprints, and his Story Behind the Story show, heard on Republic Broadcasting Network, Mondays through Fridays. And I'm happy to have him back with us on short notice. He is a chemtrail opposition researcher. That is not the limit of the work that he does. Our good friend, Dr. Mike Castle. Mike, welcome to the show. Well, now have we lost him? I think we may have lost him.
You think you may have lost me?
Oh, there you are. Okay, now I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I've got that really unusual problem with my phone. I thought I, in fact, had been able to ground it, but maybe it does something different. Who knows?
Oh, it sounds very good right now. So whatever
okay,
you're
just speak up if I cut off. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Whatever you're doing or not doing, it's working well. So.
Okay. Well, again, I really like being on your show. I can talk about they're diverse things to me, but then again, they are so first-handed anymore. In this world especially, it's first-handed because it's not things that, in fact, are that unusual by any stretch of one's imagination, if they've got one.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing a production as what we've seen is being carried out by our own military in Haiti and other places, but they're production scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And everything about the truth about how are the Haitians being helped, your sources that I, in fact, have found coming from all over the world, it's not happening. It, in fact, is another farce. It's something that's not going to, play out the way that they want. It can't, because mm-hmm. they created the problem to begin with. So then again, that's just one of those things. It's Lauren Moray last evening on Jeff Wren's show said that this is the most vicious bunch of beings that one can possibly imagine on the face. Now, she didn't say it just like that. I'm adding probably a little bit more ferocity to it, but I can feel the anger from a lot of people. And Lorraine has been privy to all of this for such a long time. So, when I hear it coming from someone like her and Jeff Renz, you just can't really ignore the magnitude of what's right in our face, right in our midst. And, you know, we're all looking around saying, well, who are we going to call? What are we going to do? And there's where everybody just kind of shrugs their shoulders, and I'm not one to do that. I know you're not either. So hopefully we can capture the ear of those out there that, in fact, they're wanting to do something, but just what is it we're supposed to do? Well, got to have that backbone. Sharpen that backbone up a little bit. You're going to need it.
Yes. Isn't it ironic, and I'm a bit tongue-in-cheek in saying so, that we had Waco, Texas, this attack on the Branch Davidians, the wiping out of many women and children, along with probably people who were just religious fervents, in a sense. We don't really know without being inside the organization. We only can go by what the media has fed us. And, of course, that whole Waco thing was nothing but a psyop designed to attack the First Amendment rights of a group of individuals. And I'm not saying that David Koresh was a saint, nor am I saying he was doing any of the things he was accused of doing. It seemed rather senseless to have this war. Literally, it was a war. It was an attack. It was an assault, like something you would read in biblical times.
Yes.
And nothing was done. And then we had two attacks, bombings that occurred within the World Trade Center and the lower levels of the parking garage. And then we had the Murrah building in Oklahoma City, and the people were being conditioned to do nothing, to maybe voice a little bit of concern, but the media certainly handled the spin of the truth behind what was to occur later on in 2001. And it did occur, and many people were outraged, and they came up with new phrases to call the people. In other words, attack the messengers, and that will discredit the message. And we had the bombings that took place in Madrid, Spain, and London, England, and Bali, in a nightclub in Indonesia. And these events all had several we could say, satanic signatures to them, both on the dates that were chosen and the significance of what the dates meant, the numerology identifying the person whose name it was done in behalf of. And then we have the spin, we have the attack on all the people that stood up and brought forth valid information. Now we have this event in Haiti, and it mirrors all the other events. It mirrors
the same. It's the same crew. There's no question. It's the same exact satanic bunch of demons. That's all they are. They're not human. And there's where most people can't imagine. What are you talking about? No, they're not. And can we prove that? Certainly we can prove that. But would it make a difference if all those things were true that we're trying to tell them about who these individual beings are? They saturate the military. They saturate every agency in this United States. They've been here for a long time, and they don't go away. They're hivers. They're the mentality of killers. It is the killer's mentality. That is the front end of the matrix.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So we're seeing this. We've certainly recognized this pattern over and over. Some of us, myself, I've been sharing this, my conclusions and my discernment over the past 2.5+ years now on my own radio show, well within the scope of my journalism, both on my website and with the Idaho Observer. And I have to say, just in that regard, I'm witnessing a steady stream of divine providence, that's all I can call it, where facts are just coming to me now. Thank God for the listeners, the readership that we have. I say we because I don't feature just my own work. I feature the work of Dr. A. True Watt. I should actually be publishing the things that you've written, provided I have your permission to do so. You have touched upon
whatever you would like to do with them, my friend. You can just as long as they continue to fly across this world on the net. That's why I didn't, in fact, put them in a hard bound anything and put a price on it, because that's not what it's about. It's about getting the information out. Those, in fact, whom supposed to read this or see this, they will. The ones that don't, hey, listen, they will continue on with life until a certain time when they better have a good, their vocal cords better be in relatively good shape, and they better have good teeth, because there's going to be a lot of wailing and a lot of gnashing of teeth when they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it doesn't have to always be taken in the sense of a dire conclusion. Certainly, the drums of war are being played. And I used an analogy. To be honest with you, I don't recall if I did it on the air or off the air, but I likened what's going on to an old drum set that's become out of tune and worn, where the heads are worn paper thin, and as a musical instrument, it needs to be rehabilitated. Overhauled, so to speak. this thing about the war creates peace. This is one of the largest illusions behind the reality of war. Why wars are conducted, why we're taught, or what we were taught about war and its significance. We've come to understand in a multidimensional way that it's insanity. That it doesn't lead to anything creative. It's destructive. It destroys life. And
makes somebody a lot of money.
Yes. Yes. And when
it's marketing.
we're in this reality that depends so much on the accumulation of wealth, and yet do we really understand what real wealth is? Comment on that if you would.
Well, we've got the orders of whomever they believe they are, or whoever they're addressed by, whom all those individuals are. gone on 75, 100 years or more of doing the same thing, because that's just the nature of these beings that I keep referring to. They are very different than human, but they've got some lineage. They got some DNA scrambled in there somewhere. But this is their very nature, is to, in fact, to incite, to provocate, to, in fact, provoke, to start all of this dissent, and then just, in fact, get somebody to push a button or pull a trigger unleash a secret sound weapon from a deep trench somewhere that no one knows except a few, and that creates havoc and chaos and death like it's been unparalleled that we know of. Those are the events that are transpiring today. Do you know how much money was made off of that by someone who, in fact, provocated this? It just went to the core of people across this world. I think their intent was to teach everyone a lesson. You know, I'm so highly offended by these beings anyway. They literally make my skin crawl. Being, it's the reason I don't watch that person you keep referring to that was on TV last night talking about the state of the onion. By the way, wouldn't that be a purple onion?
yeah, exactly.
But I won't look at him. Mm-hmm. I've never looked at him. I've never listened to anything he had to say. Mm-hmm. I don't look at his image. I shut him off, turn the station, or in fact mute it. I don't care what it is. I just refuse, by choice, to listen to anything that he's got to say for just my own primary reasons. And that's my God-given right to do that. If I want to ignore somebody, I'll just ignore him. But I hope he gets that message to him, because I hear a whole lot of people out here saying the same thing about that being. He's an imposter to begin with. So why would you want to listen to what an imposter has to say? Why? Why would you possibly get or derive from that by listening to what he's got to say, or what his plans are? I think DV Kid said just this evening on Ren's show that almost the same thing, to the effect of, why would you want to listen to somebody like that? Everything that comes out of their mouth is a lie. Everything. Virtually everything. Well, that just shows you, do I have hatred? No, I don't have any hatred for this person. Matter of fact, I pray for this person. I really do. You just really have to conjure it up, Don. You just really have to go on that thing, that verb called faith, and just go ahead and do it. And you ask God to forgive him, because, you know, we're incapable of doing that, aren't we?
Yes. Well,
we're incapable with that type of vehemence because of their murderous character. Now, does that say that they're a murderer? No, it's just their character. They are, in fact, reprobates. All of those that, in fact, that we've talked about recently, I don't care what party it is, the entire Congress of the United States and the Senate and the judiciary have a mass infestation of these beings that I referred to before. They, in fact, are part of this cult. They, in fact, work for the taskmasters. Zbigniew Brzezinski just goes at the very top of that list. Here's a man that, in fact, with his mind, he, in fact, was responsible for murdering how many? 3.5 million people in Thailand with the Pol Pot regime? 3.5 million people. And this man, in fact, is still alive. And he, in fact, is still getting on international television or a communication resource, and I won't watch him either. I don't want to look at his face. But here's a man that, in fact, has the had the capability of doing something very great in this world. What did he choose to do? He chose, in fact, to carry out and be the henchman for those murderous, homosexual, inbred Satan worshippers that they call the Illuminati. Whoever those beings are, I don't know who they are. I don't want to know who they are. I just want them to go back to hell whence they came.
Yes.
So, you know, all these players you put into you put the factoids in there, which you do extremely well, by the way, and what you write and how you write it, you're meticulous about facts, and I'm not that good, to be honest with you. I've done some good works back when I started on this back in the year, in 2000, when I launched off on into this, and that was back when there wasn't a whole lot of people around that, in fact, would even look at you if you, in fact, pointed up there and said, do you know what those things are right there, those chemtrails? I, too, went through that horrible part of my life where everyone was in denial. No one would listen except for a very, very few, including individuals like Clifford Carnicom and Lori Kramer and Kim Dolly and I mean, pioneers, if you will, minutemen of our times. But I did write something that I thought was very revealing, and so have a lot of other people to this day. The Methodic Demise of Natural Earth wasn't intended to be a predictor nor a prophetic anything. It's just what I had found in my own research of these particular events that were occurring, and I couldn't even really want to believe it myself. But I had to fast forward everything because nothing was getting any better, because we still have the chemtrails today. I've spent my time trying to develop methodologies such as a proposed draft law that, in fact, would terminate the operations completely, because we know who commenced the operations, and it was the reprobate William Jefferson Clinton by his executive order. Al Gore stood there and smiled handsomely like a proud new father when he signed that. That's the days the chemtrails were launched officially, but there was a lot of unofficial stuff that started, goes back into the 1940s. It's just amazing the skullduggery and the level of toxicity that has been spread upon this planet, and just a very, very few people know it. Very few people, in fact, have any comprehension whatsoever of just how evil and wicked these people are to have done what they continue to do, and I just want it to stop, and so do many, many millions of people across this planet. We're not asking. So I wrote the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act. I wrote that in 2003, and I updated it in 2008. If this were to become the law of our land, and I also, in fact, always add our sky, it's to protect the breathable air column. The breathable air column is not something that's ever been pointed out to anybody, but in fact it is that space that occupies from the ground level up until, let's just say, 100,000 feet above the ground itself, where you've got viable oxygen that you can breathe. Not too many people at 100,000 feet in this world, no matter what mountain they're on. There's not a lot of air there, but the breathable air column must be protected. So it would terminate any deployment or spraying or otherwise released into the air any chemical of any kind, and I'm very specific, and it covers it all. Elemental, biological, vaccines, even covering the and reduction, minimization of anything that is, in fact, a spatio electromagnetic waveform. That, in fact, that if that becomes law, I want every one of those Gwin towers deconstructed, hauled to the state capitals in every state of this United States, and piled up on the front steps. Does this sound familiar, Don?
Oh, absolutely.
Talking about front steps of the Capitol. I want all them Gwin towers to be put at the doorstep of the state capitals across this nation. I want them taken down. The Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act would do that. And it's just a demand petition. It's a demand petition. So, you know, I'm very vocal about that. I'm very passionate about that. But at the same time, I spent my whole life in the world of chemistries and then looking at the effect and the toxicity of those chemistries. So I'm a natural scientist anymore. I don't participate in anything that is synthetic because I can tell you that the synthetic world is spelled synthetic, not S-Y-N.
Mm-hmm.
And that because it is a crime against humanities and God to, in fact, to have the type of chemistries that we have in this world today, which are designed to do one thing and one thing only at this time. And that is, in fact, to exterminate all the humanity that they can get away with. And
yeah.
That's my opinion. And however they do that, I just want all of these weapons deconstructed. The Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act would do that. So then, and not to discuss all the papers, but you mentioned it, the last paper I wrote was called Reversing Systemic Origins of the Pseudo-Earth, because that's exactly what we have at this Earth. We don't have a natural Earth, we have a pseudo-Earth, because everything's modified, everything's manipulated. The water's manipulated, the sunlight coming and hitting the ground has been manipulated and obfuscated, so nothing works the way it's supposed to. So it is, in fact, mimicking that of Earth, but it's not really the natural what we call natural life forms on this Earth, because it's all changing in very aberrant ways because of their choice of chemistries and nanotechnology and mutagens and mutagenesy that is beyond description. So I want all that to go away in such a way that it will take the voice of the rest of the world to, in fact, rise up and just say, we don't need our government, nor do we need to ask them, because they're all of them are corrupt. But we need to, in fact, have the sanctity of having a breathable air column on this planet. And that is the only document ever that was designed to do specifically that. And there's a lot of things in there that, in fact, would go a long way into making this such a viable planet for peace, because it doesn't stop war. Only we can stop the wars, but then again, we have no control over that because we've got no control over these people that are called elected officials, and I refuse to use that phrase anymore because they are all mere corporate agents. And I'll say, with the exception of one that I know of, and you mentioned him at the beginning of your show, Dr. Ron Paul. He has not been bought off. No one has, in fact, done anything except with Ron Paul. But I love the man because of his mannerisms, because when somebody, in fact, is talking like Bernanke, it's just like Ron Paul can just slice through those lies like butter. And he's the only man that I know that can do that. I love that type of person as our leader, as whom someone that I would mentor to and follow. But there's no reason why we can't have protection of our breathable air column and everything else that goes with it. I wrote a paper called Reversing. I was getting ready to talk about that. You know, the thing that we have with the money, I was listening to Lindsey Williams tonight also on Wren's show, and he was talking about, paper is going to be worthless, you know, well, it's going to be, oil's going to still be cheap, but you won't be able to buy it. You won't be able to buy groceries. You won't have it. Your money won't be any good. I, in fact, put in there how to, in fact, actually make our own money, make it legal, make it, in fact, certifiable and minted, but just do it by just a little technique of switching the threads. You know, they've got those micro RFID threads and identification things and all that. Who knows what all that stuff will do? Rip that insanity out of there and replace it with micro spun threads that are, in fact, are, they're using a deposition process of gold and silver, and they're micro threads, but you put the same amount of what that is worth in that bill. I don't care what denomination it is. Just keep the ones we've got now. And now that particular currency, if you will, becomes the property of you if you have it, because you earned that. That's your money, and it's worth its weight in gold that it carries on board. I keep asking others, what is wrong with this? Why can't we do this? Why can't we, in fact, tell Congress, not ask them, this is what we want them to do, and we want them to do it now. Gold is not went above the crest, as many had predicted. Oh, you got to see, it always comes down to the sign of the serpent. It always comes back. Oh, you got to get the, we got to get the money. We got to get gold. Got to get buy. Got to go. God, I'm so sick to death of hearing about money. Aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
You
Lord.
Know, a couple of things come to mind if I can address some of the things you said here.
Sure.
For purposes of conversation, but elucidation of the truth. We came into this fiat money system in this country in 1913, though I have discovered, as you know, these things just don't come about on the flipping of a coin, no pun intended. They're plotted out over hundreds of years, and in our case, the infiltration of the agents that carried out the Federal Reserve Act began in concert some 10 years prior to that, let's say around 1903. My research reveals this. It's documented in my research. In many of the articles, I refer back to this these events that occurred. And when we had the creation of the Federal Reserve, we didn't learn about it publicly for 3 years after it was already in force.
Hmm.
So our treasuries constitutionally provided ability to create the money that we use was stolen from us and given to a foreign corporation. That has been written about by countless authors. Probably the foremost author of that topic was G. Edward Griffin, who's been on this show a few times, mm-hmm. by the way.
Right.
And heads Freedom Force International, which addresses these issues and on the level that you're speaking about. Now, prior to having an official national currency, people were into bartering. Bartering is something that always has worked and will continue to work as long as we have an even playing field. And what comes to mind is something that I've read very recently from Brian Desborough in his book, A Blueprint for a Better World. He talks about growing food. Now, a tomato is a tomato to most people. Yet you know that a tomato grown under certain conditions where there are no artificial chemicals, they refer to it as organic, where there are all the nutrients that plants need and not the 16 or fewer nutrients that you would get through artificial fertilization and certainly not through genetic modification. To barter tomatoes, if you're growing genetically modified food, are you exchanging a $10 bill, $10 bill worth of tomatoes, or are you exchanging a tungsten lace? they're replacing gold with tungsten these days.
Right. Well, okay. That's their problem.
Yeah. That's their problem, though they try to pass the responsibility of
sure.
and the accountability for that lack of actual wealth to the taxpayers, to the citizens of this country, for the purpose of subjugating us. So
right.
we have to be we have, if we're going to come up with any kind of alternative system, this is the basic point I'm trying to make, it has to have integrity. Okay, we can grow. There are means described by various authors and various students of hydroponics and biology and agriculture who know what the proper soil nutrients are. Now, can you believe in 1991, 1992, our government studied some of the prior work of several agriculturists or agronomists, if you want to call them that, who actually studied the impact of granite dust mixed in with the soil? All the nutrients essential to human growth and the sustenance of sound health are found in granite dust.
Rock and dust, exactly.
Yes, and if you add that to soil in the proper amounts, in the proper proportions, you can virtually produce healthy food. This has been banned. It's been discouraged. And in place of chemicals, and you're quite knowledgeable in that area.
Sure.
So when we're thinking about what our true goal is, what does humankind need to survive? We need water. We need food. Of course, we need nourishment. And the diseases such as cancer are a reflection of the depleted soil and the depleted mineral sources that are found naturally in food, when food is grown in the proper environment.
Correct.
We could support 32 billion people on this planet using the MITLEADER system of agriculture, which is to combine 3 parts to 1 sawdust and sand. And yet that system lacks some 24 minerals. Still, that system being deficient of 24 minerals could support 32 billion people. And we're talking about a separate bed, a growth bed, which could be described as something about 5 feet wide by 30 feet long, enclosed in 1x8 cedar panels, chicken wire on the bottom to keep rodents, moles, and chipmunks from getting underneath, and less water, in fact, producing a yield of 60% higher than any other growth system, and that is deficient of 24 different minerals that
are
essential.
And you call that what? MITLEADER?
MITLEADER was the person who developed this growing system. Brian Desborough took it another step and determined that because of the necessity of certain minerals, particularly what is found in granite dust, The soil will develop into certain types of clumps that allow oxygenation. You see, that process puts the oxygen into the fruits and vegetables, allowing a natural delivery system to occur, which is easily assimilated by the human body. Doesn't require pesticides, and it doesn't require artificial fertilizers.
No, Don, that's one thing that I said numerous times in people that I've just have conversations with or be talking to on the internet. Since we are in Ohio, every one of those Department of Agricultural employees should be fired tomorrow and replaced with a bunch of people that have got no skills whatsoever except they know how to grow food. Good food that contains zero chemicals, zero for weed control, zero for no-till, zero for all these other types of techniques and methodologies which poison the food supply, and they none of them, in fact, will take one moment to contemplate what kind of nutrition are they getting from all this stuff that they're raising. Does it have nutrients to the human being when it's ingested, such as the genetically mutated corn? No. There is no nutritional uptake because just using that alone, in fact, will poison your capability being able to digest and get nutrients and minerals and things like that from it. But I'm serious. They all need to go and need to be replaced, just as the senators and the congressmen that are in this state and all these other states, they, in fact, need to go. That's the only way we're going to survive, because there is zero leadership there, and none of them, in fact, will listen to what I or anybody else has got to say about this poison that's being sprayed into the air every single day. They all obfuscate, they duck, they won't return calls. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to get Senator Voinovich's office to talk to me. There's a guy, he's another legislative assistant, his name is Walls, he's in Washington, D.C. He won't call me back. But Voinovich has got somebody in Columbus, Ohio, well, I guess at the home office, her name is Barbara Taylor. You know how many lies that woman has told me? But she's just some type of, I don't know what she does. It doesn't make any difference. But there's nothing in there that, in fact, will cement any type of facts around the problem that we have with our air in this state, because they're all corrupt. T-Berry, the same thing. You've got Kucinich up there in that neck of the woods, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to, in fact, be something that we could, in fact, utilize, and he would help us. I think he went the other direction for some reason. Again, it always boils down to the money and the politics, and all that stuff makes my skin crawl. But, you know, where's Dennis Kucinich on the chemtrails? He won't even talk about it. Not even respond to my personal letters that I sent the man.
Nor
will
mine.
Not
yeah.
talk about it.
I've been to his office and left a 3-inch stack of documents with him.
Right. Well, and T-Berry is the same way. Here, you know, yeah. The guy just really creeps me out. Really does. T-Berry does. And there's nothing personal here. You understand? There's nothing personal between any of these people and myself. It's just their behavior, their aberrant behavior that they keep ducking down. How many times have I, in fact, caught T-Berry ducking away from any exposure to his relationship with Battelle, which is right here in town, and the U.S. Air Farce? I don't call them Air Force. They're Air Farce, the current era. That's all they're about. They're about this machination, modification of our atmosphere, which is poisoning everything upon this planet. And they're all involved, but they just got a $2.7 billion grant, whatever thing, partnership with Battelle. And T-Berry, in fact, voted against, he voted for the food safety bill, which is all GMO. See, it just continues to compress itself into something extremely solid. It's called concrete, and it's going right around our feet. They're getting ready to heave us into the lake here one of these days.
Yeah.
Very, very soon. It just doesn't stop. So all of these people need to be taken out of office, and I would suggest with enough evidentiary, in fact, many of them should be arrested and sent to some prison for the rest of their life because of their participation in racketeering and other charges, and indicted on things that include murder. That include murder. If you take Morgellons, just that entire nanotechnology nightmare is so bizarre and aberrant and mysterious, and no one understands it. But as Clifford Carnicom says, just recently released his paper, this type of infestation is found in all animals, and I can tell you there's a lot of other researchers that have been doing work out there. It's in all life forms, which it is intended, and it, in fact, is very lethal. It is lethal, but before you die, you're going to be participating into something by being almost a two-way transceiver. I'm not laughing about it. I'm just saying that's just how insane all of this is. And there's people like Newt Gingrich that knows exactly all about this transitions technology. But But yeah, he's standing up there like he's some sort of hero. I wrote him a letter here last year, and I, in fact, specifically addressed it to the non-honorable Newt Gingrich, because he always sends everything out, you know, every one of them sends asking for money. Wait a minute. You get paid. Just do your job. I ain't sending you any more money. So you got to stop. We're going to try to stop Pelosi. We're going to try. These people are just so corrupt. It's just not even. Oh, man. So I had to find a different thing to do with all this. I call it junk mail. I just shred that up and make a soil out of it, and it composts down for about a month or so, and I have other compost materials that goes in it, the coffee grounds and so, and I make this into a material that I call a pseudo-soil. It grows things like you would not believe. I've found the best place in the world for something that you don't want, junk mail, especially from politicians. So, anyways, that's,
yeah.
And I started planting things in charcoal and magnetite in a small little greenhouse that I put together out of recycled stuff here in my area. And I done that because you can't grow tomatoes outside anymore. They'll die. You can't get production of tomatoes in just regular soils anymore. So, and besides that, they're poison, and they get into a blight situation with the barium and the chemtrails, and besides that, the aluminum components, in fact, will destroy all the natural occurring endomycorrhizae that's in the soils, which actually transmute all of the nutrients into the feeder tendrils from the soils. So even if you've got really good mineralization in your soils or whatever it could be, if you can't get it into the plant, what good is it anyways? You can't grow anything,
yeah,
because
yeah.
You, in
it's,
fact,
you, see,
you got rid of all
the
microbes that
in fact
would grow things.
Yeah, it's assimilated into the soil via the microflora.
Right.
And the systems that they have right now kill off the microflora, inhibiting the plant's ability to transmute those minerals into digestible food for the plant so it can produce the fruit.
Exactly.
Okay, now this system that I was describing with the sawdust and sand is not necessarily something I'm promoting. It's just that system in its creation was determined to produce three times larger yields of a higher quality food. Mm-hmm. And growing food in conditions where it couldn't be grown in the natural soil. Now you're describing composting, which is something that I do as well, and composting makes all the difference in the world as to the quality of plants and the plants' ability to proliferate and produce crops. I have tomato plants that produce three or four yields in a growing season, as opposed to one that you see with other systems. So
that's what I had this year. Yeah.
Isn't that really going to be our true gold, sustenance that
yes.
keeps us alive? You can have all the gold on the planet and starve to death.
No, I'm just trying to think how you coat micro threads with tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they're two different subjects. And of course, I don't mean to impugn your suggestion. We should have a monetary system that actually is a true reflection of some intrinsic value of abundance. Not wealth, but abundance.
Right.
Because abundance is something that's found in nature, in the universe, and it doesn't require a system of approval or control or monitoring. It's natural. It just flows. Nature is the perfect expression and evidence of that. Whether we agree with it, whether we're aware of it or not, is a totally different issue. But we should be aware of how we're destroying nature or how we're competing with nature. Nature has its own built-in competition, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
The Darwinians call it survival of the fittest. And you see, this is a ideology that the Illuminati love because they're... in order for us not to survive, they have to see that we're unfit.
Well, but they cross wires there thinking that whoever owns all the money owns everything else. And that is where, in fact, they are absolutely, and I'm a chemist, wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They think that since they own all the money, they believe, then they own everything else. And I think there's a book that's just been written. I've heard this gentleman on a number of shows, and he's right. His point is well taken, but I would just add to it, you know, that's not the way I understand it, so I don't agree, nor will I ever agree. They do not own everything. Now, if I were to dig a hole in my backyard and I would find gold there, are they going to have SWAT teams come up and, in fact, take me away, in fact, for having delusional parasitosis or something, and because I found gold in my backyard, and it's their gold, so they're going to get it, they're going to take off? No. That will probably happen, but at the same time, it's not theirs whatsoever. They own no mineral rights that I'm aware of. Oh, you mean it's written on a piece of paper that you've somehow or other been able to accidentally give away all your mineral rights as a condition of your deed and your title and this that? Well, that's just a piece of paper. That doesn't mean anything to me, because the Constitution means nothing to these people, these beings. So I think we're even.
Yes.
They don't own everything. If I got oil underneath the ground that I live on and I own, they don't own that. I do. But it's just, there's going to be a fight in figuring out how to get it out of the ground and who, in fact, but see, it's not about the money. I don't even really want the oil. I've become so adverse to oil, I've even developed my own fuel technology that I use. So it's just one of those things that it's part of this aberrant matrix that we've been trained to believe in our entire lives, and now that is all going to fold, but it won't fold on us. It's going to fold on them. The implosion is going to take place in their world, not ours. I can ignore their world for a long time. Remember, I told you, I've been around my cave all day, and I'll survive.
Well,
I've learned how to do that.
Let me throw this out there, Mike. In terms of the ownership, at least it's implied that we own it, and yet they have it set up that they say, "Well, we're just being we're caretakers on their behalf," and that they can take it from us at any time. That's a sore issue with me, on the basis of if that's a reality, then they own me, and I don't ever recall consciously submitting my personal sovereignty to some other entity that is so fearful that it can't even identify itself.
Well, you said the thing that they use. That grand old trick and murmur and illusion called they say?
Yes.
They say we own you? They say? Well, then again, I'm no respecter of whoever they really are.
Yes.
So it makes no difference to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know, but you've got to think like that anymore, or you're not going to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, you and I come to different conclusions on many of these issues. I'm getting chat messages and email about our conversation about the soil.
And really?
I want to come back and address that in a moment, but let me preface that with the remark that regardless of our experience in a particular area, not necessarily expertise, although we like to refer to it as that, when we become so experienced at a particular topic, we feel we know it inside and out.
And
we sound the alarms to let people know, hey, this is what's really going on. This is how we see things. Always with the best of intentions, as seekers of the truth and light bearers, we come to a constant agreement on conclusions. We may have different methods as to how we go about discerning these things, but if we use a scientific approach, we seem to come to the same conclusions. And this is amongst others that you and I work with, other researchers or other talk show hosts who have a background in research and have particular expertise. I may make some comment about something, and they may sound way outside the box, and yet eventually people come around and they say, you know, you were right. What you said actually is what's going on, although it was difficult to grasp. Whether we talk about trillions of dollars, we seem to have leapfrogged from millions and billions that people have no comprehension of, to trillions and quadrillions and quintillions. People can't wrap their thought around that. Yet, in the many conversations that you and I have had and our study of events from our individual perspectives, we come to agreement as to what is going on. Now, people who are discovering these things anew, it's becoming part of their new consciousness. They're waking up and they're realizing these things are going on. They feel sort of helpless because of the immensity of how deep, how conspiratorial these things have been.
Well, sure. Remember the day that you finally recognized that what you found out in your research, it's just so depressing you actually try to deny it yourself. But there's something in you that won't let you do that anymore.
Oh, no. I came to the realization, that was a closed book. That book was burned.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But you remember the day that you came to that conclusion that all these things that, in fact, that you suspected and been researching are horribly true, and therefore you can't go a different direction. So I just set out on the course, and I know you did too. I just set out on the course of, I just told myself one thing. I would do something that someone that I admired greatly back in the 80s always said he would do. And he was a very successful man too. But he always said he would we could depend on him all the time, always saying the same thing. He would continue to tell us the same thing. He wouldn't change his story. That's foundational.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I, in fact, said. That's the only condition that I had more for myself was I would always tell the truth, but I would always keep saying the same thing. Of course, I added to it. I added to it and expanded in my experiences, as you call them. So, yeah, and there's so many other people that will never, in fact, go towards the gravity of this because they don't want to hear it. But I guess everyone's going to be making the choice of, okay, you're going to survive, but just can I ask how you're going to do that? You know, so you can spend a lot of time with a lot of people that in fact, are not going to listen to one word you have to say. And doesn't that get on your nerves when you listen to some of these talk shows and stuff and they throw the guilt bag out at you? They just keep, oh, I've been telling you you should do this. I told you to get food a long time ago. I told you to buy gold when it was real cheap. I just like, okay, I'll reach over and turn it off because I don't want to hear that stuff. I'm doing the best I can, and I know you are too. But there's so many other people that are out there that are so new to this. They have no idea where to jump. It's a merry-go-round, and you got to jump on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to find somewhere to jump on it, and it's just trying to get your timing right to do that.
Well,
because there's so many things that needs to be done.
Yeah, for both of us, in our unique ways, it's become an issue of discovering what the problem is,
yeah,
what the cause of the problem is, and who's behind it, so that we can steer clear of their methods.
Understand their technology that they're using against us as weaponry.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I've done. That's what you've done. All these things are just such a agglomeration of things that, you know, when you enter into some of these areas, like the nanotechnology and the bots and things of that nature and the hybridization, I don't even use the word hybridization because that doesn't mean anything, to, let's say these other species, these other races, beings, they've been here for a long time. Well, see, you, before anybody, in fact, will even allow you to talk about that, they've got to have evidence and proof that they're real. So, okay, just have a nice day. It's the only thing I can say to them. Bless you, you know.
Yeah.
But just have a nice day, because they're not ready to accept the things that are so obvious to so many people. Like yourself, Don, you've been exposed to so many things. I've learned so much from you, my friend, because you've went the long mile and you stuck with it, and you've had the patience to understand that there are not only a lot of other beings in this world, but they're everywhere. And they've been here for a long time, and you're starting to talk about who they are. We know that there's at least three that aren't so cool. They're really ugly. They're hivers. They're killers. And they're all here.
They're uncool, actually.
They're very uncool. I didn't mean to say cool. I meant uncool. Thank you.
And that's rather interesting, because they're cold-blooded individuals. They should be cool.
I was going to say, they don't even like air. They like cold mountain air, you know? Very little oxygen. I mean, that's the grays. And well, but a lot of people have to grasp, okay, well, if we can get them, lure them out of the matrix by just getting them to come to their senses about some of this stuff, it's not so bad. They've been here for a long time. But that doesn't mean that, in fact, that we have to exist under their conditions and terms, which we are gravitating to right now. That's what needs to be stopped. They are extremely involved in these things that we call the chemtrails,
mm-hmm.
right along with the friggin' U.S. Air farce and all these fascist corporate entities, partnerships, BAE, industries and all the communications and the mind control, all of it is all wired together.
Yes.
Wired together.
Isn't it ironic that their greatest fear is us understanding and knowing the truth about
yes.
anything?
That's exactly right.
And
that's their greatest
fact.
Fear
words,
is that we'll
knowing the
come
truth
across.
Of the illusions that they have created for us.
Right.
You see?
Right. Well, you know, I've been talking with you for quite you and True, Truot about the utilization of orgone energies. I don't know anything about this. I didn't go and mentor into Trevor Cantor's, or I went back to what I could find out about what Wilhelm Reich had found, the man who discovered orgone energy. Now he didn't invent it; he discovered it, because you can't invent something like that. It's the most profound natural energy that there is.
Mm-hmm.
But that was obfuscated. What he wrote and his books and his manuscripts were confiscated. He was thrown in prison. He was murdered while he was in prison. And he ended up just like Tesla, dead. And they burnt Reich's books. Well, he had gotten out a lot of information that wouldn't go away. But what I, in fact, set out to do was possibly rediscover some of these things just based on principles alone. I have found many, many things. Well, who am I, and why should anybody care? You don't need to. But I know that these things work. We was talking about growing foods. You can't believe the response of nature and natural things to orgone energy, because it is the very principle of growth itself. It is the reproductive energy. But what I've done is found out how you simplify this enough to make it work. How do I do this? How do I make it work? You know, I've reconstructed the weather. I've, in fact, put a field of energy out with the help of my sidekick, the tree out here. It's a massive, huge, old maple tree, sugar maple, and I found her and gave her a name. It's Mabel, by the way. Mabel the maple tree. And then she got a 3.5-foot girth on her. She's the only tree left in this whole neighborhood, this whole area, that's as big as she is. Well, I kind of like, I hate to say this on international radio, but I kind of fell in love with this old gal because she radiates this energy field so far out and up. And see, that's what I discovered. Live wood will re-radiate this energy field as it's accumulated by wood and so many of the things. And it's accumulating a magnetic field, if you will, but it's able to re-radiate this as an amplification, as a massive vortex.
Yeah.
And there's so many properties of that vortex that no one understands. I don't care how much you've, in fact, listened to orgonomy or whatever they call that science, and they study all this stuff. Where's all these people? Where's Stan DiMeo? Where's all these people that, in fact, and where's Karlinsky at with some kind of information that's valid and that will help humanity? But no, they tend to just want to draw back and obfuscate this more and more and more. But it is the basis of life and reproduction as we know it. And all I, in fact, want to do is continue that trek of just putting out information and getting people to practice with it, to use it. It doesn't cost anything. It's an energy without a mass, and it does things that are virtually magical.
I can tell you.
We got your hum there for a second.
Yeah, and just out of the clear blue, I must have said something too much about Oregon, huh?
Well, you're kind of answering one of the questions I got from one of our listeners, David, in Washington State. I want to specify that's not the District of Criminals. He was wondering if you would expound a bit on, let's say, the transmutation of the good minerals, or let's say chelating the harmful chemtrail substances out of the soil, cleaning up the soil, filtering out those harmful substances. And I knew you were going to go into orgone, so I let you go there.
But, okay.
Orgone certainly would be a way to provide that. And you touched upon a very important thing. You know, in Reich's work, and I mentioned this a couple of nights ago on the show, Reich suggested that we, along all of our waterways, that we plant trees to a width of 500 feet on each side of a waterway, whether it's a river, a stream, a creek, and that we would maintain proper water temperatures to just balance the natural systems. They'll take care of themselves.
Yes.
In terms of pollution, this issue, this phony global warming issue will be resolved. Water will maintain the proper temperature to sustain the life forms that are required for us to have pure water on the planet. So what do? They chop down trees. What can we do? We can plant trees.
Well, something I started back in 1991, Don. I ended up calling this stuff a pseudo-wood. But it was 65% paper fiber, and I'm a polymer chemist, and I found a natural polymer. This was back in 91, 92, and I, in fact, was able to develop something that I could mold with not a whole lot of temperature and not a whole lot of pressure, but I could mold this into a something that when you took it out of the mold, it was just like a slab of wood, just like a block of wood, like a board. And I called this material Macrex, a macropolymeric bound matrix. That's the acronym that I just, in fact, always remembered it by. It doesn't burn. You can saw it, drill it, screw it, nail it, paint it, trim it. You can even whittle this stuff. It won't burn. It will not support combustion whatsoever. It's the most perfect wood, but I mimicked all the exotic hardwoods. I made a whole display of those. And all I would do, in fact, throughout many years is try to fend off those companies that, in fact, all they wanted to do was to get their hands on this technology. And they said they would research it. And, well, they would research it forever. And they would take the patents, and they would give me a mere stipend, and I could go off saying, oh, yeah, I developed that. Weyhaeuser was one of the first major corporations that wanted to buy me, and their technology, and they would research it, and they made the statement, if the Macrex technology, in fact, were to get into the public purview, if it would be normal, everyday thing that you could build a house that would not burn out of this stuff, out of recycled paper fiber, it would limit their ability to continue to lobby Congress to clear-cut trees. See, it always came down to the money. It's about the money. And the trees are worth money. They've got no value whatsoever except the money for their timber. But no one ever asked the question, who the heck are you, Mr. College Professor, to not tell me that trees have one valuable piece of, they've got one thing that they do, and only one thing that has such an obvious merit that you really can't describe it. They absorb carbon dioxide and they give off oxygen.
They're filters. They're natural filters, aren't they?
Transmuting. That's the only thing that they're expected to do is to give off oxygen. So the planet, in fact, goes into demise, and of course our oxygen has been depleted tremendously. Did you know the ambient air quality that's in every state in this United States? The ambient air quality standard does not have a standard for oxygen content, nor has it ever had a level of oxygen in parts per million specified or percentages, because that fluctuates, because we use oxygen in combustion and things like that, so it can't be constant, but there's no minimums for oxygen. The Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act, you betcha we're going to have a minimum of oxygen in our breathable air column. Shouldn't there be?
There should be, and there probably isn't, because lack of oxygen is what causes cancer.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly.
They certainly don't want to lose that cash cow.
No. They don't want us to have oxygen. They claim that they probably own the oxygen also. No, you're wrong about that, too. You don't own anything. You guys don't own anything. You don't even really own the ground that you stand on. That's not yours. That's a different entity. God owns that because God created it, and he still owns it. Not you bunch of serpent, devil, reprobate homosexuals. Inbred homosexuals is all they are. And they don't have spirits. They've got demon possessions. So I know who I'm dealing with. I know you do, too. But, hey, listen, Don, you can ignore these people. Believe me. That's the best thing in the world. Just ignore them. Man, does that bug them. Oh, does that bug them. Anyways, let me get back to the point before we run out of a lot of time about the suicide. Trajectory on that is, I use charcoal in this greenhouse, my development this past year. I use the charcoal, just good hardwood charcoal, not the stuff that you get at the store in a bag. That's not charcoal. That's a bunch of industrial sawdust and wood parts that's been, in fact, pyrolyzed in an oven. And what you get is what you get. That's not charcoal. Don't mess with it. It's full of contaminants in the pyrolysis sense. When you use charcoal, natural hardwood charcoal, that's very available, or make your own. I make it out of maple. I made a whole bunch of charcoal out of maple. Kept dropping limbs. I just kept taking and putting my barbecue grill and get it real good and wet and starved the air off it and made a lot of charcoal. I use that to plant these vegetables in my little greenhouse. But I also use magnetite. I use charcoal and magnetite. You would not believe the amount of Stahl's best beans. That's a family bean that came from my family. It's like a pinto bean, but I just had an abundance of these. Now, did it prove that it kept the contaminant out of there? Had some analysis done, and I found out that the IPC in the juice of the tomatoes was devoid of any of the barium, any of the aluminum, or any of those chemicals that we have found in just profiles of what's involved in the chemtrails. So I know that it works because as those chemicals, in fact, get wet and go into the ionic carrier, the cationic, in fact, the charcoal, in fact, will absorb every bit of that and prevent it from being picked up systemically into the root system and transferred to the fruits and the vegetables. And that's how that works. But I do, in fact, suggest the use of something like magnetite. You can believe how that makes plants grow, but it's just a metal. It's Fe304. It's a natural magnetic material. I use the magnetite in all of my orgone accumulators. Why? Because I read something about Reich, Wilhelm Reich, using magnetite. Magnetite is a natural material that comes from sands. Black sands magnetite is, in fact, the excretia of an ancient bacterial form that, in fact, has an otolytic crystalline structure. That makes it unique because there's an imprint of the magnetic field at the time that that was created by these little bacterial forms. Did you know that?
I'm so familiar
that
with
is a very strong
benefits.
Bacterial,
yeah.
Very strong magnetic fields. And when you use those in planting things, I didn't discover that. John Maluski did, Dr. John Maluski. But just going forward with that, you wouldn't believe the type of tomatoes that I had, the type I grew greenhouse, heirloom greenhouse white sweet corn in my greenhouse, and finally I ran out of space and I got this thing about 8 foot tall greenhouse, and it was taller than 8 feet, and I had all kinds of delicious sweet corn inside my greenhouse. So it's just a matter of deciding what it is that you want to plant. You don't need a lot of space, but you can get compost, you can make your own compost, and just do very few things, but plant your seed and charcoal with good soil that's been composted of some sort. If you can get the worm castings or casings, use that too. That is extremely powerful in its nutrient capability, especially for trace minerals and for soil. And again, I'm using charcoal and magnetite. You don't change the soil at all. As a matter of fact, it will tend to neutralize the soil and make it slightly acidic. 5 to 6.2, I believe it is, in pH is the best area that you can grow most vegetables in anyways. And it's perfect at there. But it neutralizes that capacity of the cation, if you will. So
yeah. That
works extremely well. I'll try to cover that anyways. Well, there's lots of things that we won't cover tonight, but I hope we can some other time.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to have you on again soon. This is certainly something that we should be talking about, especially with what's going on in the food industries these days,
right,
and the potential of food shortages. It's very easy to grow your own food.
Yeah.
And I've done it for years, and I know many people who do, and it becomes easier as you go along, as you create this environment for your own plants and your own fruits and vegetables. Certainly, you're going to benefit from having done that in many, many ways that you won't discover until you do it. And it's
exactly.
Really easy. A child can do it. That's how easy it is.
And hopefully children, in fact, pick up on this. Because nobody ever taught them to do that, did they?
No. Well, we got several generations of people now, adults, that prefer to ingest fast food and are in this race
exactly.
of time. You know, and
you say plant a garden, they're looking for hamburger seeds.
Yeah, yeah. you know, it all takes its own time, and if you allow it to occur naturally, nature takes care of itself.
Yes,
certainly the significance of two elements that we haven't discussed and we really don't have the time, but maybe we can go into fulvic acid and humic acid and the
yes.
significance of that in terms of sustaining life and good health. The animals love the stuff, and they certainly know what they have to do. So,
well, it's a primary... It's a primary hormone trigger for everything.
Yes. Exactly.
And plants and whatever, yeah. And by the way, the pseudo-soil that I made years ago, that had rock dust in it, which was actually petrified humus soil that they mined in New Mexico somewhere. Well, they got shut down. It was called agronics. But that pseudo-soil that I made, in fact, it would produce fulvic and humic acid in situ as it was composting down, and you didn't need to do anything else to it. I mean, when you picked up a handful of this stuff, it looked like it was full of peat moss. It mm-hmm. had just the exacting odor of very rich humus soil. And that's the reason I developed this pseudo-soil, because the paper fiber has more durability than peat moss, which is its offset. But it's just that they've ruined the entire planet's natural drainage filtration capability by mining all of the peat moss and selling it by the train loads for pennies. And everybody uses peat moss, but we throw away all the paper fiber, which is actually the virtually a better aspect ratio of the fiber itself, and it takes very little to, in fact, to get it to compost down the ink that's printed on it. I've made pseudo-soils out of all these things, and they're just they're great. I you know, for years I made pseudo-soils, and I started putting coffee grounds in it. I started doing all kinds of things, but it was just using things that you would normally just throw away.
Yeah,
but
eggshells.
They're all excellent for getting this and mixing it with a composted material, composted manures. They're excellent. But see, you can change, you can make your own dirt to plant your vegetables in. That's what I do, because the good Lord gave me the ability to figure that out. Because I can't trust what I've got as soils to plant in, because they're so highly impacted and contaminated with heavy metals and development. I'm working with something that would give me a professional risk assessment of at least a 5 before I started out. And I'm on a scale of 1 to 10, okay? There's mm-hmm. no such thing as 0 in risk assessment for environmental, because if man has ever set foot on it, we got a 1 to begin with.
Yeah. Okay, well, Dr. Mike, we're out of time, unfortunately. We had a caller ask if you would give out your web address. I'm not aware that you have a site. If
no, I did, never done that. I did back when I first started back in 2000, but I got rifled by the U.S. Air Force and some minions there, so I just I took it down. They can email me at EKIMCASTLE. It's just my first name spelled backwards, Mike. Just spell it backwards, all one word, at yahoo.com. EKIMCASTLE@yahoo.com. I'd be glad to talk with them.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks for coming on the show. It was a lot of time. Time is a lot of fun. Time flies when you're having fun. And
it's always enjoyable talking with you, Don. You've got that open mind, and I love that.
But I'd like to pick up this conversation again and go into some depth. We can get into some more specifics. Certainly, a discussion of orgone energy is also very valuable, and a lot of people would appreciate what you have to share in that area as well. So
right. I got nothing for sale, Don. Everything is just paid forward.
Yes. I hear you.
No, I don't sell anything. Nothing. I'll give it to you. I just pay forward. And that's for my grandson and my grandkids and those young children out there of this world. Somebody's got to start paying forward, because they're already bankrupt. They don't even know it yet.
Yeah, and you're not paying forward in fiat currency, which is great.
No, I'm paying forward with something that's got value. It's called truth. Well, listen, my friend, you have a good evening, and I'll whenever you have an opening in the schedule, I'd love to come back on and talk again.
Okay, well, I'll be putting this next month's schedule together very shortly, so I'll make sure you're included, okay?
Okay, thank you. And by the way, before you get off the phone, did you look at that thing that I told you that was set down just below Santo Domingo, or just below Haiti? Did you look at that square?
Yes, I did. Yeah, we have
we
a lot to
discuss. Why don't
we talk about
that sometime? I just never seen anything like it. When I seen it, I sat on it for like 3 weeks, and I'm thinking, I know a lot about geology, but who cut a square hole right there beside the Yucatan Peninsula right below Haiti? Look at those big... It's a square hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then that thing that's over towards Cuba looks like a domed saucer. And if you look at that the right way, Don, that looks exactly like the Maxwell Hell's coffee cup on top of the coffee. It looks like the last drop coming out, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It does.
I never seen anything like that in my life. But it's just the... It's the seabed and the shape of the seabed. That's just amazing to me.
Yes. So, well, we'll discuss that on a future show. And okay. I want to thank you for sending that to me, too. Well, you have a great evening. And,
well, you too, sir.
We'll talk soon.
Best your way.
Good night. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's special guest, Dr. Mike Castle. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio for broadcasting Evident Footprints. And I'd like to personally thank Don and Doug Newsom at BBSRadio.com for making Evident Footprints possible. Both Seth Hendrick and Don Newsom on the sound. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow evening when our special guest will be Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.